Welcome to the Lead On Podcast. This is Jeff Orge, the president of Gateway Seminary, talking with you once again about practical issues related to ministry leadership. In this continuing conversation, I don't do a lot of preaching or teaching on the podcast because that's really not the nature of what we do. But today, I would like to look at a couple of passages of scripture that have given me the beginnings of an idea that I want to share with you on the podcast today. And then I'm going to keep working on this. And who knows, this may turn into an article. I doubt a book, but something that may be a little more thorough as I do a little more study on the subject. The theme today is this. What do you say when you don't know what to say? What do you say when you don't know what to say? Now, this idea germinated in my mind through my Bible reading a few mornings ago when I came across this passage in Exodus chapter 4. Moses is in dialogue with God. God has given him some instructions, and Moses is balking. And so he says in Exodus 4:10, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past or recently, or since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish." The Lord said to him, "Who placed a mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." Well, that phrasing, "I will help you know what to say, I will teach you to speak," caused me to think about another passage of Scripture over in Matthew chapter 10. So let's turn there just now. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16, Jesus is instructing his disciples, and he says something that's similar and somewhat related to the same thing God said to Moses centuries before. In Matthew 10, beginning in verse 16, Jesus says, "Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Beware of them, because they will hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You will even be brought before governors and kings because of me, to bear witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to speak, for you will be given what to say at that hour, because it isn't you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you." These are two examples, one Old Testament, one New Testament, of God promising that he would speak through people in the moment. When you don't know what to say, God has a way of speaking through you to make a difference in the lives of people. Now, this idea of trusting God to help us to say the right thing in the right way at the right time can, of course, be abused. There's a couple of extremes that I want to caution you about as we think about this subject today. The first extreme is this. Well, if God is going to help me know what to say, and if God is going to put words in my mind and in my mouth, then I don't need to ever do any preparation. I just need to stand up and speak up and trust that God will work through me. That's an extreme I want you to avoid. There is nothing in these passages that eliminates the need for preparation. You need to prepare to preach, prepare to teach, prepare to counsel, prepare to give care. You need to prepare for difficult conversations and learn skills that will help you to be effective in those moments. So there is nothing in these passages that eliminates the need for preparation, and there's nothing in these passages that justifies what I consider an irresponsible perspective of saying, "I don't really need to think about this too much or prepare very much, because when I get up there, God will just give me the words to say." You need to prepare. The second extreme I want you to avoid is the extreme that says, "Well, every thought I have must come from God. And every word I articulate, he must be motivating. I mean, after all, he said that he would help me, that he would teach me what to say, and that he would work through me in the moment. So therefore, when something comes to mind, it must be from God. Well, it might be. But I think you're taking this to an extreme if you say every time, automatically, it 100% for sure is God prompting you. Anytime I hear a preacher, especially a young preacher, say something like, well, you know, this thought just came to me, or this just occurred to me, or, well, I just saw this in this moment, and I want to share it with you, I get a little nervous on the inside. I think, oh my, what is he about to say? I hope it really is from God. So those are two extremes we want to avoid. We want to avoid the extreme of saying, because God works through us and works through our words and gives us what to say in the moment, even when we don't know what to say, that God means by that we don't have to prepare, or that we can simply say that everything that comes to mind and everything we say is from God. But eliminating those two extremes, I think all of us in ministry leadership find ourselves in situations where we just don't know what to say. We're just not prepared. We don't have the words. We're being asked questions we weren't prepared to answer. We're all faced with these kinds of situations. I can think of at least four of these that have happened to me and that I think are fairly common to most of us. First of all, we find ourselves in pastoral care situations where we're having a conversation with someone who's hurting or bereaved or grieving or in some other kind of need. We find ourselves in a counseling situation where we sit down in a more formal context and we work on a marriage problem or a parenting problem or some kind of interpersonal conflict, maybe at work or school. And we find ourselves counseling people in those contexts. Another situation is witnessing, where you're trying to share the gospel with someone or explain the gospel in such a way that they can profess faith in Christ. And of course, then the fourth one is in preaching and teaching, when you stand up in front of people to preach or to teach, to communicate truth from God's word. These are situations, pastoral care, counseling, witnessing, preaching, teaching. These are situations where we don't always know what to say, but where in the moment, we need God to work through us, to speak through us, to communicate through us in ways that are transformative with the person we're dealing with. Let me give you some examples. I had this happen to me once in the context of pastoral care. I was speaking at a college, and the dean of the college stood up and said, I would like to introduce our speaker today, Dr. Jeff Orge, a person who changed my life and helped me to remain in ministry. Well, my ears perked up. He said, a few years ago, I came to a meeting of the Northwest Baptist Convention. I was discouraged. I was ready to quit. I saw Dr. Orge, and he asked how I was doing, and I said I was struggling. He sensed that I really was hurting, and he said, let's have lunch together. This was striking. He was about to go into this major three-day meeting, and yet he asked me to lunch. And so we sat down together, and I talked with him, and he shared some truth with me, some encouragement with me. And then this guy from the platform in front of these 1,500 college students said this: it's because of what he said to me at that luncheon that I'm still in the ministry today. I would have quit that day without that conversation. Now, when he said that, I turned to my wife and I said quietly, he has no reason to make that story up, but I don't remember it. Now, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean in the moment I didn't recognize the gravity of it. But as the years went by, I have forgotten the nature of the conversation. And in fact, had no idea that I had said something that was that profound that day. Here's why. Because what I said probably wasn't all that profound to me. And when I was motivated to speak it, I didn't realize the power and impact it was having. But in that pastoral care situation, God was working through my words in ways I could not understand to do something I could not imagine was being accomplished. This is part of what I think it means when God says, I'll put my words in your mouth. I'll help you know what to say. I'll teach you what to say. I'll be with you in the moment. I'll speak through you. It's messages being delivered that we don't even understand the importance of or the significance of in the moment that really profoundly impact other people. You can experience this in the context of pastoral care. Here's another one in the context of counseling. I think of a story once when a person came to me, a man, and he wanted to counsel with me, and we met. I listened to him. I offered him some counsel. We looked at some scripture. We prayed together. He said he'd like to work on some of the things we'd said, and he'd come back the following week, and he did that. The following week when he came back, in the middle of the conversation, I was prompted to ask this question, a question I had not planned to ask, did not prepare to ask, didn't have anywhere in my notes to ask. But about halfway through that second session, I just simply said, "What about your situation are you not telling me?" We both sat there for a few seconds just kind of looking at each other. And then he looked down, and then he looked back up, and he revealed finally what the real problem was. And when he revealed it, I was stunned because I had no idea that what he just described to me was going on in his life. And I had no idea that what was going on in his life was the real root cause of the problems he was bringing to me, which I thought were real, but were actually just surface issues. And I also realized in that moment when he said that to me that we were having a holy transaction, because for the first time, maybe for the first time with anyone, he was being really honest about what he had to say. And after that question, we got down to some real solutions to the real problem in his life. So once again, in this context of counseling, God worked through me, putting a question in my mind that I had never thought of before and had no anticipation of asking, was not prepared to put on the table, but felt strongly prompted, urged to say, "What are you not telling me?" And then getting the answer, which opened up the solutions to his real problems. Here, I said pastoral care and counseling, and I also said witnessing. I'll give you a story about that. I met a man named Jack a number of years ago. Met him through his wife. He and I then became friends. His wife was very open spiritually, started attending our church, and then some weeks later, Jack straggled in the first time and then came again. And after he'd been a time or two, I started having a different kind of relationship with him, and then eventually said, "You know, Jack, I appreciate your interest in our church and perhaps in a relationship with God. I wonder if you'd like to sit down and talk about that." He said, "You know, I actually would. Could you come over to my house one night this week and let's talk it through?" I said, "Sure." So a few days later, I found my way over to his house and went in, sat down, and he sat down in a chair across from me, and then he did something unusual. He reached over and pulled a piano bench between the two of us, turning it into a table, and then he pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket and unfolded it, and it laid it on that piano bench. And I looked down, and of course, I'm reading it upside down, but I see that he has a list. I think it was 17 questions that he has written out on this piece of paper. And the first question was something like, "How do you know there is a God?" And then we went from there. And when he started down that list of 17, I'm thinking to myself, I didn't come over here for an apologetics debate. I didn't bring any material. I'm not really sure I understand all the answers to all these questions. I don't know that I'm really prepared for this. But I'm looking down at that list and I'm thinking, but I said I would come over and I said I would have this conversation. And I'm thinking to myself, so here we go. And he asked that first question about the existence of God, and then I answered him the best I could, and he said, "Okay, all right, next question." And he just walked me through these questions, and we're there for like an hour and a half, just going through question after question after question after question, then follow-up questions and other issues that were raised and spin-off things from those. And I'm just sitting there, quite frankly, astounded at what's coming out of my mouth, because I'm giving him answers that in my mind sound like best guesses, thinking, well, this is a perspective, or here's an answer, or here's something you ought to know, or this is the way I see it. And after every question, he's saying, okay, that makes sense. Oh, okay, I get that. Well, what about this then? What about this? And we continued that for about an hour and a half. And at the end of that time, I said, Jack, you've had all your questions answered. Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ? And he said, no, I don't think so. And I was like, what am I doing here? I mean, after all these questions and all these answers, that's my conclusion? I don't think so. We talked a little while and it became clear that that was his answer. And I said, well, you keep thinking about this and let's talk about it again sometime. And I left that house that night discouraged. I thought, Lord, I'm not a very good witness. I'm not a very good evangelist. I'm not a very good apologist. I didn't even know what I was doing in there. But a couple of Sundays after that, I preached a message and gave the invitation. And you know what happened? Jack walked down the aisle of our church and walked over to me and said, hey, I'm ready to do it now. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. And he did that. And he has lived his life committed to Christ now for these last few decades. Wow. I marveled as I looked back on that conversation. God was at work through my answers to those 17 questions in ways I did not understand, couldn't have predicted. In fact, frankly, left me discouraged when I walked out of the house. But yet, when I didn't know what to say, God was at work in me and through me to say what needed to be said in the moment. So, pastoral care, counseling, witnessing, and of course, then the one that we often depend on God's help with, and that's preaching and teaching. You know, it's important to do thorough preparation and then to stand up and deliver what you've learned and what you've prepared. But it's also important to be ready in the moment to say that phrase or that perspective or that insight that you maybe hadn't planned to say, or that really you didn't plan to emphasize as much, but now you have a sense that this is really what needs to be said in that moment. Now, as I said at the beginning, I've already cautioned you that every spontaneous thought you have while you're preaching and teaching doesn't have to come out of your mouth. Just because it's an urge doesn't mean it's spirit prompted. You'll get better at this as you gain more experience and more spiritual maturity and have a greater capacity for speaking and understanding an audience and how they're reacting to what you're saying. But nevertheless, while I'm warning you in strong words and cautioning you about doing this too much, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to trust God in the moment to give you an extra word, a special emphasis, an additional thought that will help make the message even more clear and even more powerful in the lives of the people who are hearing it in that moment. So, we're talking today about what to say when you don't know what to say. And I've shown you an Old Testament and a New Testament passage that really speak to us about this issue of God putting words within us to help us to say the right thing at the right time. And I've tried to illustrate it for you in some different ways. Pastoral care, counseling, witnessing, and preaching and teaching, and some different examples from my life of how I've seen this happen, where in the moment, God worked through me to say things I wasn't planning to say, didn't intend to say, in some cases didn't think were all that helpful, or didn't even remember that I said. And yet, the words were transformational because God was at work in the moment. Now, having said all that, there are three prayers that have helped me over the years to really put this into practice, this principle of trusting God in the moment for what to say. And I want to teach you those three prayers today, and I want you to use them and let them be an encouragement to you, a guide for you, and a means for you to access God's power in your words in the moment. The first one is this: God, help me. That's it. God, help me. That comes out of God's promise to Moses, where he said, I will help you. I will teach you what to say. It is very appropriate in the moment when you need the right word to say, God, help me. I have used that little whispered prayer, or that prayer that I've just thought to God, over and over again for years to help me in critical moments when I just really wasn't quite sure. And I'll tell you the time when this is really perhaps most poignant or most helpful, most emotionally draining for me. And that is when I'm in front of people and I'm being asked questions. Like, for example, when I'm on the stage at the Southern Baptist Convention and I give my report, and then as we're all required to do, we have to yield for questions. And you never know what's coming. It can be anything. And oftentimes when the person is asking me the question, and especially if it's something that's difficult or controversial, I'll find myself praying before answering, Lord, help me. This also happens sometimes when I'm dealing with my board of trustees here at Gateway. When an issue comes up or a question gets asked or something of controversy needs to be addressed, just before I give my answer, I'll often just silently think to God this simple prayer. Help me. Help me. In this moment, with those two simple words, help me, I'm admitting my weakness. I'm confessing my inadequacy. I'm announcing my dependency. In that very simple prayer, help me, I'm crying out to God for Him to use my words in the moment, to shape the words in my mind, to give me thoughts I might have never had before, to give me a recall about the question that's being asked about something I may have not looked at for months, even years, that I can use in that moment. Lord, our God, help me. That's my first prayer that I pray when I need to know what to say, but I don't know what to say. Here's another one. God, check me. Check me. Stop me. Hold me back. Limit me. Give me some restraint. Discipline me. That's what I mean when I pray, God, check me. Now, I've used this prayer on a lot of different occasions in different contexts, but there's two where this prayer is particularly helpful. One is when I feel myself getting angry. That can be in a meeting, it can be in a relationship, it can be in any context really, but when you feel that rising anger within you, you feel that anxiety building, you feel that blood pressure going up, that adrenaline starts to flow, I'll pray, God, check me. Check me. Restrain me, hold me back, limit me, give me discipline, control me. That's what I mean by that simple prayer. Check me. And I will tell you that perhaps the time I prayed that prayer the most was when I had teenage children. What is it about teenage children that enables them to be able to push our buttons so effectively? My children may be hearing this podcast and they may think, oh, I was just always delightful as a teenager. And most of the time they were, but occasionally they pushed my buttons. They got under my skin. They made me angry. They said things that infuriated me. And in those moments, it was all too often my natural response to want to lash back. But God would help me if I prayed, Lord, check me. He'd hold me back. Give me restraint. Little bit of discipline. Just something to keep me from saying more than I needed to say in the moment. So here are two prayers. God, help me. And God, check me. But here's a third one. And this one is a big one. God, strengthen me. Give me resolve. Give me courage. Grow me a backbone. Help me to stand up and do what I have to do right now. God, strengthen me. A few years ago when I was the chaplain for the San Francisco Giants, I encountered a player at the airport in another city. I was a little surprised to see him there. We happened to be on the same plane. I walked over and said, hey, I'm a little surprised to see you here. And he said, yeah, I got to fly back to San Francisco. This was in the middle of January, off season. He said, I'm in some trouble. I got to go talk to the ball club, to the leadership. I said, what happened? He said, well, I got arrested. I said, what did you do? He said, I ran through the TSA checkpoint at the Las Vegas airport. I said, why in the world would you do that? He said, well, I ran through the checkpoint because I needed to finish an argument I was having with my girlfriend. I wasn't finished, and she went on through the checkpoint, and I was mad about it. And I stopped and said, wait a second. I know your wife and your children. What do you mean your girlfriend? And he pulled out his phone and showed me this picture of this beautiful woman and said, this is my girlfriend. Tell me your name. And he said, why would God allow this beautiful woman to come into my life if he didn't want me to have a relationship with her? And in that moment, I realized that I was dealing with a level of spiritual deception, confusion, that was almost mind-boggling. And I prayed, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. I said, listen, friend, I don't know what you're thinking about this, but this is wrong. This is called adultery. You're married. You've committed to one person for the rest of your life. You can't have a girlfriend. Oh, but man, I don't see you. You know, I mean, and he started justifying and explaining. And I then just prayed to myself silently, God, help me, strengthen me. Give me backbone here. I'm not backing down, Lord. Help me not to back down. That conversation with him went on for almost an hour and a half. We sat there, me trying everything I could, appealing to him, explaining to him, showing him scripture, giving him consequences of what was going to happen in his life. Everything I could think of to say in that moment, I was saying. And I was praying repeatedly through the whole conversation. God, help me to know what to say. God, strengthen me to not give in. Because I was fighting, really, a moral battle for what I considered a man's soul and for the future of his marriage in that moment. Listen, we get into tough conversations as ministry leaders where we've got to show some backbone, have some courage, not give in. Say something that is hard, hard. Calling out someone for their sinful behavior, telling someone that what they're doing is not appropriate, not accurate, not correct, not biblical. Confronting people is hard. And in order to do that well, you may find yourself praying what I've had to pray over and over through the years. God, strengthen me. Give me resolve, resilience, a backbone. Help me to stand firm. That's what you mean by that prayer when you say, God, strengthen me. So these three prayers have helped me over the years. God, help me. God, check me. God, strengthen me. As a ministry leader, you're going to be involved in pastoral care, counseling, witnessing, and preaching or teaching situations. The means by which all of those are effective is communication, the words you use. We're supposed to know what to say, but let's be honest. A lot of the time, we don't know what to say. So what do you do? What do you say when you don't know what to say? Well, you pray. God, help me. God, check me. God, strengthen me. And then you open your mouth and you speak the truth as best you know it, believing that somehow, in a way that we cannot understand but we can experience, God will work through our words. He told Moses, I'll help you. I'll teach you. Jesus told his followers, don't be anxious. In the moment, I'll put the words in your mouth that you need. This is a miraculous and wonderful part of ministry leadership, saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. And I don't care how glib you are, how sophisticated you think you are, how widespread your vocabulary may be, there are still going to be times when you don't know what to say. And in those moments, trust God to be at work through you and through your words. This is a part of ministry leadership. as we trust God to help us to say the right thing in the right way at the right time. Put these principles into practice this week as you lead on.